I'm so glad to see y'all out in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm really shocked at how many people are turning away from God. I'm shocked at how many pastors are just stepping down from the pulpit, closing their churches. And I know this is a great falling away. I know we're at the end times, but don't you be one of those. You stay firmly rooted and grounded in Christ and just keep going. Just fight that good fight of faith and just keep going. Doesn't take anything to quit. It takes everything to keep going. Amen. You never know whose life you're going to touch. And the harder the devil's fighting you, that's just about how hard you have to fight and to get souls into the kingdom. Well, Father, we just thank you and we praise you right now. We give you all honor and all glory. I thank you, Father, for those who came out this morning to sit in your presence, to hear your word, to be taught by you. And Father God, let the anointing that destroys every yoke be so strong in this building today that it'll go out into the airwaves, Father, and it'll touch people's lives. And Father, we just thank you and we give you all honor and all glory, for we know that you are the true God and the just God. And we know, Father God, that without you we can do nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That sign we put up about the flag and what happened to the land of the free and the brave. God told me that one day, and that's why we put that up there. He was asking us a question, what has happened to America? And it's up to you and I to pray to make sure that America stays strong so that God can go ahead and move by his mighty power and do the wonderful things that he so desires to do. We have to pray. We have to stay close to the fire if we expect God to move and do great and mighty exploits. God talked to me and said that he wants to teach us on endurance. And we have to understand we are in a race. We have to understand the enemy is trying to stop us from running that race. And we have to understand that we have to have endurance if we're going to finish this race. And the only way we can have that endurance is through Christ Jesus. I know things seem complicated right now, but you know, they really aren't. We're just looking at it in the world's perspective. And they're not really complicated because God does have everything under control. And he is doing a great and mighty works throughout the land. So endurance. Do you know how many times I've wanted to quit? The same amount of times y'all wanted to quit. When you just think there's no sense of going on. But because we all endured, we are all going to see breakthroughs like this. We're going to see God do great and powerful things. But we have to endure. All right? So I put down endurance as the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Now, God said, what my people need in this day and hour is endurance. It is going to take endurance to go forth and complete the assignments of the hour. Many new things on the horizon, many things you never dreamed you would encounter, many, and I mean many, will stand in perfect awe of what they are about to encounter. Now, do you hear what God said there? What my people need in this day and hour is endurance. It is going to take endurance to go forth and complete the assignments of the hour. Many new things on the horizon, many things you never dreamed you would encounter. Many, and I mean many, will stand in perfect awe of what they are about to encounter. On the other hand, many will fall away and give in to the wiles of the enemy because they have never learned to endure in the good times, so therefore they cannot endure in hard times. One thing God has taught you guys in here is how to endure. Has he not? He's taken you to the woodshed so many times. And said, you will be strong. Yeah, aren't you glad he did? Yeah. Aren't you glad he does those things? It doesn't let you just slip through the cracks somewhere. Children, we are about, God said, children, we are about to embark on one of the greatest adventures in church history. I know I have said this before, but I needed to say it again. This new adventure will take you to the greatest heights of heaven. You shall learn to dwell in heavenly places and then go forth to complete the works that lie before you. See that? You're going to go to the greatest heights of heaven. You shall learn to dwell in heavenly places and then go forth to complete the works that lie before you. Isn't that what God's been trying to get us to do, is to dwell in the third heaven? All right? It's in the third heaven he teaches us all the wonderful things of what heaven's all about. Now, I have been doing extremely deep works in you, and you all can say amen to that. This works will take you forth to conquer on all sides, and you shall not be hindered by anything the enemy sends your way. You shall not be hindered by anything the enemy sends your way. Get that down in your spirit. Yes, God said, yes, the darkness has its agenda, but his agenda will not outshine mine. So many blessings stand before this generation. Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stand before my body of believers. We are going forth not as wounded soldiers, but we are going forth with victory in our wings. So many people are going forth wounded. And this is why we're not seeing the great turnaround in the world that we should be seeing. Because people, I mean, you guys in here, you've been going through deliverance and you've been getting that woundedness taken care of, but other people are not, and therefore they can't minister in the fullness that God would have them minister because they're still wounded. One little girl said, you know, the reason why me and, you know, her boyfriend, my grandson broke up was because of the woundedness she had, and then she carried it into their relationship, and he couldn't deal with it, and they broke up, but they got back together. But such, you know, as God spoke them and showed them what was going on inside of them, their eyeballs just popped wide open, you know. And they just did not, nobody's ever explained that to them before. And, you know, deliverance is where God's at right now. Everybody's doing deliverance. It's because the people that come into the house of God are going to be really wounded. I knew the two boys were wounded, but I didn't know the two girls were. And I was surprised at what God brought out. So see, you can look at somebody and they can look just great, look like they have no problems, and you think, oh, well, they're just fine. I'll just tell them Jesus loves them and go on. But you know, behind that exterior is a lot of pain. And so this is where we have to allow God to just show us what's going on and speak into their lives. You have to speak it into their lives. You know, I had to sit there and for 4.5 hours, God just kept speaking into their lives, telling them, you know, what was going on with inside of them. And they all cried and they was washing that junk out. But see, you're going to have to take time to do that too. You can't say, well, I'll give you 10 minutes of my time and then you got to go. We can't do that. We have to do it, have whatever it takes. I finally said, you guys are going to have to go home though at 8:30. I said, you just have to go home now because I have to go study. But we'd already done everything, and they were just sitting there relishing in the joy of the Lord. But I hope that each one of you in here today, I'm hearing God say, I hope that each one of you in today will expand your time and minister to those who are hurting. Let them feel the love and the peace that he has given you. All right? And I'm also hearing him say there's a time frame. For each soul he sends to you, there's going to be a time frame that you're going to need to minister to them. And God will let you know what the time frame is. All right. Sometimes you just have to say, you know God's finished. So you just say, well, we're finished now. And make them, shoot them on because so they can just think of what God has done to them. You can sit there and after the Spirit's done, you can sit there and converse and ruin everything God just did. Do you know that? You can. You need to let them go and just think about what God did in their lives. All right. God said, children, the wind is to your back and the wind is moving you forward at every turn. You hear, it's not in front of you pushing you backwards. It's in the back of you pushing you forward. You shall see victory after victory on the horizon, and those victories will come to you in many forms. Healings like you have never seen. Miracle after miracle after miracle will come forth from my bride of victorious ones. Every desire of my heart for your life will be manifested before your very eyes. So whatever God has told you, that's, you're going to see it. You're literally going to see it. Children, you are stepping into the very essence of my heavenly kingdom. I don't know, as God spoke this to me, and I was typing up, and I said, God, I want to be there now. I said, you keep telling us about all this wonderful stuff, but I want to be there now. You know, maybe he didn't take me there now. God said, the bride is adorned for her master, and my bride shall shine in the midst of the darkest hours that are to come upon this earth. A bride adorned for her husband in Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. When we first started the church, NASA, they were watching the New Jerusalem descending. And we had pictures of it. That was way back in the early 80s, I think it was. But they said that was the New Jerusalem ascending, and they were watching it. Then all of a sudden you didn't hear no more about it, so I don't know what happened. But so anyhow, God's been working all those years getting New Jerusalem ready. He's been working all those years getting ready for the second coming of his son, Jesus. And there is a perfect place in heaven that you and I can abide in right now. Right now. Are you understanding this? And God wants you to abide in that perfect place. Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9 says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. We have been invited to the table. This church has been invited to that marriage supper a couple of times that I can remember. So you're blessed. Isn't that what it says right there? God said, my bride will be so in love with the groom that she will go through the fire many times and not be concerned about the consequences. So if you're concerned about what the battles you're going through, you're not as much in love with God as what you need to be. Isn't that what he just said there? She shall know what it is to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and she shall see the heavenly light upon her continually. She shall know that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, because her maker is also her provider. Children, I am laughing in the heavenlies, for I see what you cannot see, and I am already celebrating this great and glorious day that you are entering into. All of heaven has been rejoicing, waiting for this day to come upon the church, and now it has arrived. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. So God said, children, I am laughing in the heavenlies, for I see what you cannot see, and I am already celebrating this great and glorious day that you're entering into. And after I had this all together, I think I read four prophetic words where God was prophesying that he was laughing. He was sitting in heavenly places laughing at the enemy. And I thought, God, you are so good. You keep us all on the same page. So God's laughing, and why are you crying? Amen. And that's why we're singing. God said he wants us to celebrate. That's why we're singing the fast songs, because God is celebrating in heaven. And he's laughing and rejoicing because he knows the enemy's already defeated. And he knows the church is coming forth in great glory. And he's celebrating, and he wants us to celebrate too. And at each service, I can hear you. It's getting more and more into it. You're just more and more. You're getting higher and higher into that worship realm. And I think that's beautiful. I really do. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 4, said, "He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them." Then God said, laughing the laugh of faith. What of those problems and situations that seem to loom so large over your life? What of those problems and situations that seem to loom so large over your life? Open your mouth and laugh. Laugh the laugh of faith. I am seated in the heavens and I laugh, and you are seated in me in Christ. So let my laugh in the heavens be heard on the earth and even in your circumstance. Come on. In God, I hear God say, if you would just laugh the enemy to derision, he would leave you alone because he can't stand laughter. God said, I have seen you in your troubles, and I am come down, melting the earth and causing the mountains to tremble as I bring you out of the waters of adversity, even this day, and set you on the high places of the earth. This is your portion, says God, and your righteousness is of me. He said, I am laughing the laugh of faith. The heavens are open over you, and whatever you ask, you shall receive. Now, he says this. You know, children, instead of asking for your own selfish needs, why do you not ask for souls? You are here to win those lost and dying souls that are wandering even in the very corridors of hell. Does not my word tell you to pull them out of the fire? In Jude chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 says, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Have mercy on others, but with fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. God said, children, as you read my word, nowhere do you find my disciples ask for things to heap upon their heads. They were always asking for blessings to be poured out upon the church. I answered those prayers, and I so desire for you to learn to seek blessings for others, and my word tells you that I will take care of all of your needs. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it for your pleasures. And Matthew 6, 25 through 34 says, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? Now, you have to remember this scripture because they're saying that we're going to have a shortage of food. They're saying that they're going to have a shortage of adult diapers. I just heard that yesterday. So, you know, if you know somebody wears adult diapers, you better get stocked up. All right? They're saying we're going to have a shortage of money, that we're really going to have a money problem really soon. And then what did God tell us? He said, he's been telling us, when the gross darkness hits, I'm going to take care of all your needs. So maybe you need to sort of keep reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through to 34, to keep reminding yourself that doesn't matter what comes down the road, God is going to take care of you. And they're even saying the food that we have right now is going to go really scarce. So there's a whole lot of things coming down the road, but God is saying he's going to take care of us. And verse 31 says, so don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Then John 16:24 says, where it says, ask and you shall receive, is one of the most abused phrases in the Bible today. In John 16:24 says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. You know, when they were with Jesus, they never asked anything in his name. But when he went away, then when they prayed, they had to pray and ask in the name of Jesus, right? All right, why didn't Jesus qualify, ask and you shall receive, with conditions when he was talking to the disciples? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, to the 11 disciples whom he knew wouldn't ask amiss. He knew their joy will be full by serving and glorifying God, not by enriching themselves. His statement didn't need to be qualified because the audience had been qualified. You know, ever since I've been born again, these faith teachers, you know, whether the preacher would get on the radio and say, if you send me this much money, then God's going to give you this. Well, you know, that never stuck with me. I didn't like that. And I never sent money to people like that. There's still somebody on the TV that I just can't understand how he's becoming so rich. People just believe all that stuff he's saying, and it's not true. It's just not true. All right, God said, children, do you see how far away from my word the church has strayed? Do you see why there is so much confusion in the house of the Lord? Do you see why there are so many lost souls going into the abyss every day? Do you truly see that I brought you here to earth not to heap riches upon yourselves, but to seek my grace for the lost and the dying? You are teaching repentance, but are you ready to feed the lost the true, unadulterated word? Why do you stop and ponder my word at every turn? Why do you not just take it by faith and go forth revived by my word and bring in the harvest? Now, let's stop there. As you read about Paul, he never ever asked anything for himself. All he was concerned about was the people that he was ministering to receive Christ and were blessed. Today you hear people praying, oh God, I need a new house. Oh God, I need a new car. Oh God, I need this. And oh God, I need that. God says, if we'll be about, as he said in his scriptures here, if we'll be about his business, he'll take care of our needs. And we need to quit, and they teach you on TV to pray for all this stuff, and God's going to heap this into your bosom. What you need to do is quit doing that. Be about the Father's business, and he'll take care of you. But if you can't be about the Father's business, then how are you going to teach somebody else to do that? In other words, if you have a need and you're constantly talking about this need and you're not about the Father's business, God cannot meet that need. God knows everything that you have need of. And as you work for him, he's going to work for you. He's going to give you the things that you have need of. The word tells me Jesus didn't have any place to lay his head. But yet he was always provided with some place to sleep. You know, and he always fed the disciples. He always fed the multitudes. And he was fasting most of the time. He wasn't eating. We have this all turned around. The church has been doing this for so long. And some of these preachers are coming forth saying that what they did was wrong. You know, after they became rich, after they took all the people's money and the people didn't receive what they should and they got discouraged, now they're coming forth say, I never should have been preaching that. How many times is God have to tell us we have to test the fruit? When I was evangelizing, I was in churches where they took up about 6 offerings. Yeah, there was a pastor needs this, and so we got to be. And I looked around as they were doing this, and the people there really didn't have that money. I knew they were giving money they needed for their own selves. If the pastor would have been living for God the way he or she should have been, and being about the Father's business, they wouldn't have had to beg for the money and rob their congregations. God would have supplied the need. Come on. That's the way it works. And God says, we have it all wrong. We need to be about his business. How many times has God said to you, you know, he wants you to go do something? He said, you won't need to worry about the money. I'm going to supply the money. I'm going to supply everything you need whenever I send you. Now, if you just go on your own, then you can't blame God if you aren't taken care of. But if God is telling you to do something and he says, I will supply the need, then he's going to supply the need. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, for no word from God will ever fail. And then Psalm 2, 8, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. God gave me that scripture a long time ago. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. In other words, that's the lost. As you pray, God, just send me to the lost and dying and let me minister to them. And God will do that. But see, people want to sit in their little ivory palaces and not go out and be inconvenienced, and God can't bless them that way. 1 John 5:14-15 said, ask God for opportunities to share your faith and the courage and wisdom to make the most of those opportunities. It doesn't say ask God for a new home or a new car. It says ask God for the opportunities to share your faith and the courage and wisdom to make the most of those opportunities. In Colossians 4:3-4 says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. See, not that they get anything. Open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. They weren't asking for anything for themselves. They wanted a door of opportunity open to minister the gospel. And Ephesians 6:19-20, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely as I should. He doesn't pray that he gets out of the chains. He's praying that God will open the doors again. Oh God, get me out of the sick beds, then I'll go to work for you. Just give me strength, Father God, to go forth in it while I have the sickness in my body, and give me the strength I need to minister to the people. Are you seeing this? Ask for God to expose sinful attitudes that are hurting you and others and dishonoring God. Ask for God to expose sinful attitudes that are hurting you and others and dishonoring God. In other words, what is in you that's not honoring God? Are you constantly asking for God to do things for you? And if you are, that's not right. You have to be constantly asking God to help you minister and give you strength and or whatever you need, authority, whatever you need, and then God will take care of you. Psalm 139:23-24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We know that God has been teaching us every day to test ourselves, don't we? Every day we should search our hearts to see if our heart is right with God. Some of you don't even have to search, do you? You just know, God, I'm not right. You need to come in here and get me right. Right? Come on. I go through that like I explained to those young kids last night. I said, I'm human too, and I hurt. I have pain. You know, I'm no different than you are. I said, you might not see it, but, you know, I'm honest about it. And so, that you know, and search me, God, and know my heart. You know, and people use that scripture all wrong, too. You know, people be in sin and you talk to them, well, God knows my heart. You know, they use that, you know. Yeah, he does know your heart and he knows it's cold and callous. You know? And what they're trying to tell me is, well, I'm doing good. Even if I am in this sin, I'm still doing good and helping people. The Bible tells me that won't get you into heaven. God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. You can't be in sin and say you're working for God. That doesn't work that way. And 1 John 5:14-15, This is a remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to. We are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for. Read that again. You know, the couple that was sharing about their house, you know, they just saw the house and just knew it was theirs and they forgot about it. Didn't let anybody take them off of that path. They just stayed on that path and they said they couldn't afford it. But things happened and the price came down and they could afford it. They didn't get all anxious or anything else. They just agreed that that God had told them that was their house and they got the house. But how many people do you see fret, moan, and groan, and carry on, and act like fools because no houses are coming their way, and this and that and the other? Ruthie has a powerful testimony. She's going to move into her place. Not two-bedroom, three-bedroom, right? And, you know, and she had wrote me an email saying, I don't know if I should do this, don't know if I should do that. She was wanting to go backwards, and I wrote to her, get your mind on God, keep your mind on God. Forget about the house, place. God has it for you. He promised you he's going to give it to you. So she did that, and she just started getting into the word and you know, praising and everything. And next thing she knows, the door opened up, and there's her house, right? Apartment or wherever it is. But she's getting it, and she's all excited. I thought I was going to have her give her testimony, but she's not here this morning. I'm telling you guys, if you would get your mind off of your problems and get your mind on God and the works he wants you to do for him, he's going to take care of you. Now, I'm not telling you not to ask God for anything, but I'm just telling you we ask all the time to heap things on our own self, and we need to be about the Father's business. So 1 John 5, we're going to read that again, 1 John 5:14. This is a remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him. That if we ask anything according to his will that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for. We ask of him. I want you all to do what I did. You know, when God spoke this, I sat down and thought about my life and what God has given me. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I have never asked God for anything to heap upon myself. I've always asked God, let me have enough money to raise my grandchildren. Well, first of all, start with my children, then grandchildren, then great-grandchildren, then more great-grandchildren. And I've always asked for things for other people. And God's always supplied my need. Remember the car situation? You did a GoFundMe or whatever it was. That thing fell to the ground, and God said, I never wanted that. I wanted to take care of you. And he, you know, so we dropped that thing, and, you know, God paid that car off. And it was all once we, and I never felt comfortable with that, but then you know how I am about Facebook and everything. I thought that's just probably my dumb head. But it wasn't my dumb head. It was God saying, I don't want you to go there. Like God told me, I don't want you to go to Goodwill and buy clothes. I cannot go to Goodwill and buy clothes. I don't want you doing that. And everybody said, that's crazy. What's wrong with going to Goodwill? Well, if God didn't tell you not to do it, nothing's wrong with it. But he told me not to do it. So I don't even go into Goodwill for nothing. You know, my whole family does, but I don't because God told me not to. You know, he'll tell me not to. He might tell you to go in and buy the store out for all I know. We have to do what God is telling us to do. God said, I will supply your need where your clothes go. He supplies all my need, but people usually go in and buy used clothes, right? He said, I don't want you to do that. And so my granddaughter said, well, I bought a couple pieces, had the store tag on it yet, so they weren't used. You know, don't make excuses while you go because God didn't tell you not to go. We have to do what God tells us to do. And God said, church, come back to the truth of my word and know exactly what it is saying and carry this truth to the lost and the dying. When God started praying about we ask amiss, when he started talking to us about that, I said, God, this is going to open up a whole new can of worms. And But he said what he wanted to say, and I spoke to you what he wanted to say. And if you want to go in and search the scriptures more, go ahead and search them. But I never saw where Jesus begged people to build him a home, even though they built rooms onto their homes so he could stay there. I never read where the disciples were going around begging for money. In fact, Paul tells one church, I don't need your money. The other church is supplying my need, you know, because they didn't want to give me money. So, you know, it's not about the money, guys. It's not about the money. It's about serving God, saving souls. You don't have to live like a rich millionaire. What do you think happens to these people who go overseas and missionaries? They sleep sometimes in tents. They don't have beautiful homes. They go over there and they witness for Christ. But we in America, we think we have to have a big, beautiful home, furnished with the best furniture there is. And I'm not saying you can't have it, because I'd love to have have a big, beautiful home. I really would. But God hasn't given me that, and I don't even ask for it. I just am content with what I have. And we were talking the other day, because people are building. You know, we used to be in the country. Now they're building all around us. They're building beautiful homes. I said, mine looks like a little shack now with all the beautiful homes, but that's all right. It's a roof over my head, and that's what God is letting me live in. We're going to get a mansion in one day, right? In heavenly places. So, guys, I don't want you to quit thinking about what you have need of. I want you to start thinking about souls. I want you to start doing what God's called us for to do, and that's to minister to the lost and the dying. If you can't pay your bills, maybe you're thinking too much about paying your bills, not about the Father. You're not about the Father's business. And so, you know, and I know, some people get a little bit excited when they can't pay their bills and think they're going to get kicked out of their homes and everything. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but the Bible tells you not to do it. You know, I'm not going to tell you not to do it. It says to be anxious for nothing, right? What this is all about is to make you stop and think about where you're at, what you're doing. And are you really lining up with the Word of God? Are you really doing what God's called you forth to do? I wish Sister Barbara would write a book, because she's a prime example of somebody that, you know, was all over the place and then finally settled down and let God lead you, right? And the wonderful things God's doing for her. I get excited every time I hear what God's doing for her. It's all because she's always about the Father's business, always. It's always about winning the lost. And gives up her time on Saturdays and everything, go out on the street. You know? I want you to think about this really hard. Father, where is my heart at, really? Is it for lost souls? Am I enduring the hardship like Paul and the disciples did, so I can win the lost, so I can carry the glory? You know, the same way you're going to carry the glory is if you're really working for God and doing what He's doing. All right? This is a strategic time for the body of Christ. We have to be on the same page that God is on, or we're going to miss Him. And He keeps, you remember years ago, 5 years ago, He told me the revival's going to happen, and you know, the glory's going to drop in the fall. So each fall, I thought it was going to drop. Now they're saying, this is the fall it's going to drop. And so God already told me it's going to drop in the fall, so I don't know if this is the fall or not. But I'm believing like everybody else that this is when it's going to happen. And it's going, you know, because we really need the glory to drop. Because when the glory drops, you're going to forget about everything. You're not going to worry about what's happening to you. You're going to forget about all that, and all you're going to want to do is follow God. Now, see, when we was ministering to those four people yesterday, they all said the atmosphere in here changed, and they didn't even know what they were saying. They said something just changed when you started talking to us about the Father. What happened? Jesus came into the room. Now, see, if I wasn't about the Father's business, that wouldn't happen. So with you, wherever you go, do people say, when you were talking, something happened? And this one little girl said, I went to church one time. She doesn't go to church. Went to church one time years ago with a friend of mine. And when I went there, I got this warm, fuzzy feeling. And she said, whenever you started prophesying to me, that same warm, fuzzy feeling came over me. My hair stood up on end. And I explained it was the Spirit of God. Now, if we're not about the Father's business, guys, that's not going to happen. Our prime concern right now has to be about the Father's business, ministering to lost souls. And he's told every one of you he's going to open the doors of opportunity, hasn't he? He'll tell you, if he told you that, he'll do like me. He'll say, okay, today you're going to minister to those boys. And he set everything up. Listen for God. He'll tell you exactly when it's going to happen. And he'll set the whole thing up. I want you guys to quit trying to set the things up yourself. And I know some of you do that because I can feel it and I can hear it in your voices. And even when you write emails, you can feel how a person is in an email. And I can see that you haven't put God in this. It's all you. And I think, God, they're still not walking in the Spirit the way they ought. So I'm really asking each one of you in here this morning to really concentrate on walking in the Spirit all the time, 24/7. It doesn't matter what's going on, just walk in the Spirit. And when you do that, God said you have to be in season, out of season. So as you walk in the Spirit constantly, he can just up and use you in any given second. There's somebody in my house, I don't like being there. And yesterday I was leaving to go take the kids, Friday, take the kids for a haircut. And this person did something I wasn't pleased with. And so I started telling somebody else, you tell them. And they popped up and said, tell me what. And, the Spirit of God rose up in me. And boy, I told them what. And they weren't happy with what I told them. But that devil got right up in my face. And see, other times I would have just left it go. But boy, I didn't let that go. I mean, and it was God, because I don't react like that. And so this is being in season and out of season. See, and God told me 2 weeks ago, it's time for this person to move out of your house now. And they are on their way out. And God was using me then to sort of nudge them. Each one of you in here can sit here and say, there are times I'm not walking in the Spirit the way I ought. Every one of us do that. But what we have to do is be really concerned about that, because you never know who God is going to place in your path to minister to. All right? And if you're not walking in the Spirit, somebody's going to get hurt. That soul that you were supposed to minister to is not going to get ministered to. And that opportunity then is gone for the moment. Are you understanding this morning? What's the word we used? Endurance. So going through your hard times, you have to endure. And I think that everybody in here can tell me right now, if we were just talking out loud, that some days you think, how can anything else go wrong? And one more thing goes wrong. And you have to keep enduring all the hardships. Got up this morning, my email won't work. I can't believe this. But we have to keep going. We have to keep doing the things we're supposed to be doing. And I'm hoping that as God's speaking, you're thinking about this really hard. God, there's things in me that aren't right yet. I don't have a mind on you the way I ought to. Will you please come and fill me for yourself? So that instead of thinking of myself and what could go wrong, I'm constantly thinking of you. All right? Father, I just thank you right now, and I give you honor and glory. Right now, Father God, as this word went through, I already prayed over this message that endurance would be uppermost in your people, that they would endure the hardships that are coming upon this land, but in joy, in total and complete joy, Father. And we would laugh with you as you're laughing in the heavenly at the enemy. And we would laugh at the enemy also. And not put our minds on the things that's going on in our lives, but put our minds on the things that are going on in the heavenly realm. I'm asking right now, Father God, that you bestow upon your people a special blessing. Reach down and touch each one that's sitting here this morning, Father. Remove all that the canker and palmer worm is placed upon them, Father. And restore the years that the palmer and canker worm have stolen. Set them on high places right now. Set them, Father, in the deepness of who you are. Right now, Father, what I'm saying is what God is saying. So right now, Father, raise them up into heavenly places right now as they sit in their seats. Raise them up. You're saying, come up hither. We're coming up hither right now, Father. We want to go into that secret place in your heart. And we want to know all about you. Purge us, Father God, from anything that's not pleasing to you. Sit our feet on the path that you would have us to walk. Some of you are on a path that God hasn't placed your feet upon. Ask God right now to place your feet on the path that he wants you on. And the reason why you're having a lot of trouble is because you're walking your own path and not the path that God has called you to walk on. And right now, God said he wants to minister wholeness to those who are broken and beaten down. He wants to minister wholeness to you right now. And he's saying he wants to raise his banner of love over you so that love saturates your very being. And when you speak, that love will go forth and it will touch many lives. Just let his love just pour out on you right now. You need that love to take to the nations. Father, we thank you that you're so precious. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. You know, did God just tell me, with the people watching, there's a woman sitting there and you have your hands raised. And you're saying, give me all of you, Father. And he's pouring himself in you totally and completely right now. And what I'm seeing is he's pouring himself in you. As he pours himself into you, all the old junk is being pushed to the surface and being pushed out. So all you have is the fullness of who he is. I thank you for it. We give you honor, we give you glory, Father. There's a lot of people watching here right now, and God is saying, go ahead and let the tears flow. I'm washing you inside out. I'm cleansing you from my righteousness. And you will go forth and do a great mighty works for me. And Father, I thank you for this also. I thank you, Father.